Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. As Jahar Tsarnaev, the accused marathon bomber, faces trial in Boston, there's a conference today at the White House that has particular significance to this city. It's a summit drawing people from around the country, including Boston, to look at ways to counter violent extremism, to ask what compels young people to join violent causes, and how can we prevent them from attacking the U.S. or going overseas to fight. It has relevance to Boston, but in the wake of the Charlie Hebdo massacre in Paris, the murder of journalists in Syria, and the slaughter of Christians in Libya, it also has relevance around the world. In a moment, we'll hear from a leader of Boston's Muslim community about his objection to the summit. But first, Brian Bender is in Washington, covering the conference for the Boston Globe. We spoke to him earlier today about the White House, about what the White House hopes the summit will accomplish.
Well, the White House has planned for some time to hold this summit on what they call countering violent extremism, bringing together international diplomats, community leaders from both the United States and abroad to try and wrestle with this looming issue of young people particularly becoming radicalized on the Internet through social media and potentially launching terrorist attacks here in the United States or in Western Europe. And obviously in the aftermath of the Boston Marathon bombings in 2013, there's some particular focus on Boston and what Boston has been doing in the wake of that to try and do outreach to the Islamic community, but also other communities to see whether or not there are ways to identify troubled individuals who may be more prone to this kind of indoctrination before they get to the point where they become violent. And that's why U.S. Attorney Carmen Ortiz is presenting at this conference about what Boston has been doing, because Boston was actually chosen last fall by the Justice Department to be a pilot city to try and put together some new strategies, a new framework for trying to address this problem.
I see. So tell us a little bit about the report on Boston's pilot program, which you suggested is going to be presented today. It's already been posted online, but give us the sort of highlights of what that report says.
Well, you know, basically it's a framework, the way they describe it. In other words, kind of lays out what the problem is. And then, you know, different ways that law enforcement can engage better with communities, not just in educating them about the warning signs, but also educating young people with what they call counter messages. In other words, if there are young people going on the Internet and listening to some radical ideologies, maybe one way to combat that is to make sure that there's also access to the counter-narrative, why these ideologies are violent and un-American and why they shouldn't go down that road.
Right, and I want to ask you about that because I understand there's a dissenting view at the end of the report by the executive director of the Islamic Society of Boston Cultural Center, Yusufi Vali. What are his concerns?
Yusufi Vali was brought into this process by U.S. Attorney Ortiz to be part of one of the working groups to help them craft this framework. And he writes a pretty strongly worded dissent in the report. And basically, his concern is that not just in Boston, but nationally, the approach to this problem is far too focused on the Muslim community, that Muslims are being unfairly targeted by these programs in Boston, in Los Angeles, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and of course, wherever else they're going to be implemented. And he points out, as others do, that if you look at domestic terrorism statistics, politically motivated attacks that occur inside the United States, the vast majority are not committed by Muslims. They're committed by right-wing anti-government groups, neo-Nazis. And so his point is it needs to be a much broader approach than just worrying about who's going to what mosque.
In fact, Brian, we're going to be hearing from Yusufi Vali in just a minute. But let me ask you, can you talk a little bit about how Boston's program, Boston's approach to this challenge might differ from programs that I understand are being presented from St. Paul, Minnesota and Los Angeles? I mean, are there aspects of it that stand out?
Well, I mean, I think Boston is somewhat unique because more than any other city, this is not theoretical. If you look at the Boston Marathon bombings, you had two immigrant brothers who came to America, lived here for years, presumably were assimilated into society, who went on the Internet and primarily through remote means, having never trained in a terrorist training camp, became radicals and then attacked the marathon. But, you know, I also think that Boston, because it is such a melting pot, you know, it's sort of a good testing ground, if you will, for some of these new strategies, some of which were already in place, obviously, well before the marathon bombings. But, you know, I think now, having drawn the lessons from that, they're trying to apply those to be a little bit more proactive. But, of course, proactive community outreach also comes with some controversy.
Brian Bender covers global terrorism for the Boston Globe, and he's at the White House Summit on Countering Violent Extremism today. Brian, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
And joining us now is Yousufi Vali, Executive Director of the Islamic Society of Boston Cultural Center. And welcome to you, sir. It's good to have you.
Thank you so much for having me, Mr. Brooks.
I'd love
being on your show.
Yeah, it's our pleasure to have you. And I'd love to get you to expand a little bit on your dissenting view about this report on Boston's effort to prevent violent extremism. What's your biggest concern? We heard Brian Bender sum it up, but let me get it directly from you.
Well, you know, actually, before I get into my concern, I just want to say that we've had an exceptionally good working relationship with a U.S. attorney, and I really strongly believe and commend her for doing phenomenal engagement of the Muslim community throughout this process. Ultimately, my dissent has a lot less to do with the local officials here and a lot more with the White House mandate that this be, you know, the premise, which is, you know, it's a countering violent extremism program. And the premise to this program is you know, essentially that your faith determines your propensity to violence. And the data simply, you know, as Brian mentioned just what he mentioned in his comments, the data simply shows that domestic terrorism, such few of it is done by Muslims, that it just feels like it's singling out the Muslim community.
Yeah. But I want to ask you about that because, a couple of things come to mind when I hear you make that that case, and that is when the White House began talking about this summit. In the wake of the Charlie Hebdo attacks, they described it this way: individuals who carried out an act of terrorism and then later tried to justify that act of terrorism by invoking the religion of Islam and their own deviant view of it. It seemed to me the White House was bending over backwards not to make this focused exclusively on Muslim extremism.
And I think the intentions are all there. The problem is, in practice, the vast majority of people engaged in this whole effort has been Muslims. Mm-hmm. So in practice, it is, they're only talking to the Muslim community.
Yeah.
So I do think that the local U.S. Attorney Ortiz is, you know, has really tried her best to broaden that out here. And, you know, again, I commend her for that.
Well, let me ask you about that issue, because you know that there are a lot of people out there who read the news lately, and they're going to say, of course, the vast majority of the world's 1 billion Muslims are peaceful people. But the news lately, from Paris to Syria to Afghanistan, to journalists being beheaded, to the slaughter of Coptic Christians in Libya, on and on, are being carried out by extremists, by Muslim extremists. Does that suggest a particular problem now that has to be recognized and addressed within the Muslim world?
Well, you know, I'm a leader of an Islamic center that focuses, you know, in Boston and New England, and I can speak for that. Mm-hmm. What I can say is that, you know, here, certainly, you know, what we are trying to do is focus on the things that are going to help our community and our young people, help them become healthier and safer. So that's our focus here. And I think to the extent that we can really preach and teach an Islam that we believe is rooted in the values of compassion, peace, service, commitment to America. To the extent that we can do that robustly, we will prevent our young people from being being susceptible to any kind of harms, whether it's terrorism or gang violence or drugs or whatever it is.
And what do you think the most important element is in an effort like that? What's the most important thing that can be done to prevent young people from becoming radicalized or, as you suggest, opting for violent gangs or whatever it is? What's the number one thing that has to happen?
Well, you know, the data suggests that where young people are part of community, where there's strong social bonds, that young people are far less likely to engage in any kind of unhealthy behavior. And so our focus here is really building that community, engaging young people, and really helping them feel comfortable in their identity. And if we do that, we will prevent all kinds of harms, gang violence, drugs, and any kind of recruitment by any online extremists.
Yeah. You were actually involved in this Boston pilot program at the beginning. I understand you ended up backing out of it. But first of all, can you explain how that program worked and what were your concerns specifically about it?
Sorry, about the working group program?
Yes, exactly.
Well, as I mentioned, I was part of this program from the beginning and really towards the end. At the end of the day, U.S. Attorney, ourselves, we're all on the same team because we want to create safer, healthier communities. But again, the premise of this program is essentially based on the idea that, how you pray or what faith you are, it makes you more. It determines whether you will turn to violence or not. And I think that's just something unacceptable to the Boston Muslim community, and that's why I've written my dissent.
Sure. Why do you think Boston was selected as one of the three cities that would host this pilot program, the other two being Los Angeles and St. Paul, Minnesota?
Well, what the U.S. Attorney Ortiz informed us was that, we have the strongest relationships here between law enforcement and the Boston Muslim community, and that is the case. So I believe that's why it's chosen. And the other thing is, listen, all great things are born in Boston. We had the healthcare born here and then taken to the nation. So I think Boston is always that, incredible testing ground for the best initiative ideas, and I think that's why the dissent I wrote, the debate that's taking place, I think God willing will reach it will help in the formation of the best strategies to keep our community safer and healthier.
And let me ask you just one more question about this summit that's still going on in Washington. The federal government began this summit, as we mentioned, in response to the attacks we saw in Paris. What, in your view, should the federal government do to prevent this kind of violence? What would you like to see come out of this summit?
I think that... Well, let me answer that question in a slightly different way.
Sure.
Here in Boston, what we are doing is we are preaching and teaching a message of Islam that's authentically Islamic, mm-hmm. which is rooted in values of compassion, peace, service, and commitment to our country. That's what I really believe my Islam is. Now, to the extent that we can do that in robust and creative ways and really appeal to young people and our community, we will win in the marketplace of ideas. And this is, in fact, what a lot of congregations are trying to do. What we need the government to simply do is protect our rights in being able to do that allow us to preach our message freely. We don't want government to get into the business of dictating what Islam or any other faith should look like. So I think if we stick to the Constitution, I think that will allow us to win in this kind of marketplace of ideas.
Yousufi Vali is Executive Director of the Islamic Society of Boston Cultural Center. Thank you so much for joining us. We're very grateful.
Pleasure. Thanks so much.
And you can find a link to the report on Boston's effort to counter violent extremism, including Yousufi's dissent, at our website, radioboston.org. Stay with us. Coming up, what snow rage is doing to the region, the warning signs, and what we can do about it. We'll be taking your calls. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.